Hello, Dave here. This is my wife, Kath.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Today, we're going to walk the movie to our home because it's on our TV box. Apple TV Plus has the new John Carney movie, Flora and Son. And we're going to watch it with one of the movie's stars.
Yes, in exciting news. So it's an Irish movie, Flora and Son, and John Carney's an Irish director. And our eagle-eared long-term listeners may remember that back in 2016, when this podcast first started, his movie Sing Street was actually my number one movie of the year. And we talk about it a lot in that kind of end-of-year episode. But anyway, my mom, Linda, frequent podcast guest, is like a amateur actor and does loads of acting, and she is in this movie.
She is Flora.
And
our son.
She is an extra in this film, and she shot at least today. So what we're gonna do is
we're out
to chat about it now to record, and then we're gonna go home and actually watch it with mom, and then we are all going to actually die if she ends up in the movie. We don't know if she's, you know, usually extras
get
caught.
So exciting.
We won't even be paying attention to the plot or anything.
No, I'm just going to be looking at the background.
She's in a scene in a park with Eve Hewlett, who's Bono's daughter, who you didn't... Oh, you did. We both watched Bad Sisters. You've seen her in it.
Yes.
She's a really good actress.
Which one is she? Which bad sister was she?
She was the youngest.
Was she the really
one.
Bad sister?
She was the really young one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's brilliant.
Oh, she was good. She was very good in that.
And then it's got Jack Traynor, who is brilliant.
He was also in Sing Street.
And Joseph
Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, you were unable to say that. Famously, Kathy cannot say that man's name.
And it's another musical. I mean, he made Once, which a lot of people will know. He's a brilliant musical director. I can't wait to see it. We have avoided a trailer for it like we do with everything that we know we want to watch because we just want to watch it fresh.
Yeah.
But the most exciting thing is we'll just get mom to give us a blow-by-blow of her.
I think this is so awesome. I can't wait to hear her account.
In a scene with Eve Hewson, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm excited for this. I thought Sing Street was fantastic. I think it's the only of his films I've actually seen, but I was...
You never saw Once?
No, I never saw Once. No,
oh,
not Once.
Brilliant.
And
do you know the song Falling Softly?
I know the song. I mean, how could you not know this? How could you not be alive in the world in 2010 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
No, it was the world. It won an Oscar.
That's true. Do you know what? He's an incredible director, and I love that he makes, like, he's obviously, like, made this in Ireland as well, and I think that's absolutely brilliant. And I'm thrilled. I can't wait to watch it, and I'm so excited that my mom was in it.
I'm excited. I like, I love musical... all his movies seem to be about the power of song, right? The power of music in terms of healing. So I'd imagine, I don't know the plot, but he's Flora and her son will be healed by the power of music.
Anyway, I can't wait.
And an American will be in it.
So we will now go back to my mother, who's at home minding the kids. We'll watch the movie and then we'll come back and you'll know immediately by the tone of our voices if mom was visible on screen or
how
not.
Disappointed or not we will be. Quick question, do you think Joseph... What's his name, Kathy? What's that guy's name again?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not Jordan Levitt.
No.
Do you think he's going to be putting on an Irish accent, actually?
I hope so.
That would be awful and very entertaining.
Nothing more that I love than an actor doing a bad Irish accent.
Oh, fingers crossed.
So I hope and pray.
What accent was your mom doing? We can ask her this. Okay.
She didn't have any dialogue.
In the background. Yeah, but extras have to, you know... to be having conversations.
They were shooting the scene and mom just kept saying, "Top of the mountain!" And they had to keep saying, "That's not in the film."
Okay. All right, we will see you shortly with Linda to talk about Flora and Son.
Bye.
Bye.
You are a great mother.
Am I?
Happy birthday.
What's that?
It's yours.
Don't want to play. Since when am I a guitarist?
I can't go on like this.
Living in a shoebox with a kid who hates me.
Can't wait for the day I don't have to be here.
Go on! Go back to your dad!
I might learn the guitar myself.
That's just too funny. Takes years of practice, commitment.
Are you really going to talk to me about commitment?
We're ready to teach you how to shred the knob on guitar.
So, you want to learn the guitar? This is a gift you can take to your grave.
What's your problem?
I didn't know I had a problem.
You're teaching guitar online, love.
What are you hoping to get out of this?
I thought this guitar might make my son think I'm cool.
I'll be back in an hour!
I don't care.
How annoying is he?
Very annoying.
Okay, hi, we're back. We have seen Flora and Son, and we're now joined by Linda, as promised. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
And as you can tell from her downbeat tone, she's not in this movie. I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
I mean, it's so funny. There's a park scene and I walked 20,000 steps around this small park in one day and I'm not even seen.
All your hard work not paid off.
And I repeatedly fed a homeless man. And no, there's no evidence.
An extra playing a homeless
an
man.
An extra playing a homeless man, yes.
But he ended up in the film, but not you feeding him.
I hate
him. Yeah.
But I kept him alive for that scene.
Yeah.
You did. Well, look, your work has gone unappreciated. Except by us, who are appreciating it.
But Mom told us that it was a park scene, so every time a park came up in the film, we were all like,
"Oh my god, you should have the energy in this room when a bit of grass appeared on screen." We're like, "This is it.
This is my scene."
And there was a lot of grass scenes. She spent a lot of time at the park, having perfect Wi-Fi.
I'm sorry, but can we move
Skyping?
On?
Yes, of course. Well, are you going to tell us any juicy insights about the behind the scenes making of this park scene that you weren't in?
Well, the one thing I'll say, because I kind of said it during the movie, like John Carney, the director, and by the way, that's his wife who plays, are we on Spoiler Street? His wife's in
it. No, okay. Sorry, I should say, welcome to the cinema, if it's your first time here. There are no spoilers, until there are.
And it's not a spoiler to say who an actor is.
Okay.
No, that's okay.
So the actress who plays Eva Hewson's friend, our best friend in this, is actually the director's wife. And the director was fantastic. He was there and he was so involved. But at one point in this park scene, we had to stay there for 1 hour while he waited for a particular cloud formation to leave.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was amazing. All about the light. And there was another hour where...
Oh, so the light was the problem, not the cloud in the shot.
It was the light. And then pulled in these massive big screens. And so at one point, there you can see them, they're on the swings. It looks like that's the sky, but they have a giant, it's almost like a tarpaulin.
Green thing.
It's a tarpaulin, a white tarpaulin that's reflecting artificial light to brighten up this winter Dublin day and make it look like summer.
That's clever.
So it was really, and these guys who stand there, the ones holding the dollies or whatever, how they hold it steady. Anyway, so it was fun to be part of
it. Is that the key grip?
I know I'm there.
Is that what the key grip does?
The key dolly.
Is that what the best boy does?
I don't know what the best boy does, but the key grip is... sorry, now I'm lost.
Sporting.
But the dolly is... Because the guys, they're guys who carry a camera and it's not on wheels. They walk with it and it manages the bumps. So they're running ahead of the actresses.
We actually have those people in this room right now. What are you guys called? This is our studio. People can't see the studio.
Oh, and tell us,
because
we're all in agreement that Eve Hewson is... beyond better than what we... Like, she completely carries this
film. My God, she's amazing.
She's a superstar. What was she like on set?
Very normal.
Yeah.
And it was very hard, because obviously I wasn't that close to her, but it was very hard to tell. Like, they kept shooting and shooting and reshooting and reshooting. And it seemed like some of the time it was she saying, no, I didn't. I just want to do it again. Mm-hmm. I want to do it again. So she definitely was going for perfection. She's fantastic.
Oh my God, she's great. She's we all loved this movie, right?
Loved it.
It's really good.
Brilliant,
It's a feel-good movie. It's really nice. I mean, we're all... No, you're not from Dublin. But we all know Dublin. We've all lived in Dublin.
I was there for 5 years.
Yeah, so it really has a Dublin feel. It has a very Irish feel. A real feel-good feel. The one thing I would say, in case it doesn't come up again... Like, it's a musical, but I didn't. The music wasn't spectacular. It was nice. None of it is memorable.
There's a couple of songs that are in the moment. I'm like, oh, that's a good song. Meet in the Middle is probably the
beautiful
highlight. Which, but I agree. They're not. There's nothing like. I can't see any of them like once. You know, on the Oscar,
like
winning an Oscar.
Yeah, but
or
what
anything,
I'll say on that is, I have often
or
on
Drive Like You Stole It. You know, so good.
Drive Like You Stole It from Sing Street was brilliant. No, but I have often, and on this very podcast, it's happened to me with The Greatest Showman and with Frozen 2. I left both those films, came on this podcast, said, nah, music wouldn't stick with me. And to this very day, and I mean today, have been listening to the Frozen 2 soundtrack. I just think you need to hear songs a few times before you can really make that kind of assessment on them. I don't think the first time you ever hear a song, you're necessarily going to remember
The first time I heard... I'm just Ken.
Yeah, that's exceptional though.
I'm still singing it. It was like, it's the
song. That's the song of the year.
It's the song of my life.
Yeah. You just Ken.
But I think, I actually think that the song Meet in the Middle and then the last song, I'm going to be listening to them and they're going to be growers.
No, I got to say, we'll talk more about that in spoilers, but the last song didn't land for me as well as I think it could have. The first, Meet in the Middle landed very well.
This Let's pull it back. This movie is really good. Yeah, yeah, we're in so what's this movie about?
We should say that. It's about a mother and a son finding each other through the power of music, much as we suspected, because that's John Carney's MO. And look, I'm fine with that. He's very much an auteur in that sense. He just has a, you know, he writes relatively down to earth, but very sort of sentimental and upbeat movies, but that also are quite very funny and not afraid to be crude and rude. So he's kind of like, it's like the, I don't know, there's a Roddy Doyle sort of vibe
he's
to it all,
I think
there?
He's turned into one, like after watching once Sing Street and now this, I reckon he's one of my favourite filmmakers.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That is such a specific type of film he's making.
He's got a real tone, doesn't
and
he?
And they're all Dublin like musicals with really interesting characters, and I think how this, the main character in this film, Flora, she's, I've never really seen a character like her in a film. She's incredibly unique, and I think the setting is wonderful, and I'm kind of astounded at how cool he is actually as a filmmaker to be making this and to put so much heart into his films when everyone's so cynical, to watch such a sentimental movie. But that isn't corny.
That's
it's
it.
It's really tough.
It's heart.
Yeah,
that's
it's
exactly,
really hard.
This film has it in spades. Yeah. And she's so wonderful as a protagonist. Like, I thought she was so, like, grounded and funny and
sincere.
She's
such a real person.
Yes, yeah, so, exactly. So she felt like a real person. And the son was great. Drac Rayner's in this. He's good. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is kind of good, but he's, you know, I kind of felt anyone could have kind of played that role. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh here.
Yeah.
He did a good job.
You're probably right. He was a little bit cheesy. Surprisingly nice singer.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, he was nice.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was him playing the guitar as well.
Lovely, sweet voice.
Yeah, lovely singer.
I mean, I think he was good because he was like low-key and funny and very respectful. No, I really liked him.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of bought the romantic plot in this. I loved all the family dynamics. The son is excellent. The music's very good. Yeah, the movie just hits all the right notes. Pun.
And I just love the Dublin setting. Like, we really are very starved of Irish made movies, and it's just lovely to see a film set in Ireland. And also, like, to have a story about a young mother who like lives in a flat with her son, but they're not like, you know, you'll often see the kind of poverty porn of that kind of setting, and it's like, like, they just kind of have a normal life, albeit they don't have that much money.
Yeah.
And, like, you often see Dublin shows, like, where it's, like, real hardcore poverty or drugs, or it's, like, real opulence. And it's kind of nice to just see, like, fairly normal people with fairly normal incomes on screen.
Well, because we did say this, is that in every scene she's drinking wine and smoking cigarettes. So there isn't real cash poverty going on.
Yeah.
I mean, she's living in kind of working class flats, and you're assuming she's from a working class background, but he hasn't gone to that poverty porn. He's just like, so they could be in LA. It's really interesting, drinking wine and smoking cigarettes, and there's no evidence of hardship or a bad economy. It's a bit of a fairy tale, but it's lovely. It's really lovely and very Dublin slant.
Yeah.
They really missed a trick not showing you feeding that homeless man, though.
Tell us what were you doing in the scene?
I was walking across the park, right behind where they were swinging on the swing set, and I was stopping by the homeless man, and I was taking a loaf of bread out of my bag, and I was kneeling down and I was chatting to him and I was giving him the bread. And then when the director would shout cut, I'd steal back the bread and start over.
How many times did you do that, roughly?
I walked around that park, I'd say 30 times. And I think this is one thing I do want to say. You look at a movie and you say, it's fantastic, it's brilliant, it's subtle, her acting is extraordinary. But I saw at least, I'm going to say 40 or 50 takes of that scene. Now, I was also like, I was a background actor. We don't call them extras anymore.
We miscredited you in the beginning.
Yeah. I'm a background actor, but I was in a little episode of The Young Offenders shot in the English Market in Cork. And that's the difference between like soap or drama and a high class movie. Scene was shot three times, mm-hmm. and that was it. Once for blocking it out, once for a rehearsal, and then shoot. So you don't get these nuances and these subtleties when somebody's just going straight in.
Yeah, right. That's why, like a film, they have so much to work with because they've shot it so many times.
They've shot it so many times that they're pulling from all the different shoots. I just often wonder at the editing process. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
They're refining. I guess they're constantly refining the performance in that moment, and then they're refining it further in the editing booth.
Exactly. And this will have had a really like decent budget. Like decent it's an budget. Apple movie. Decent it's John Carney. He's got a really good track record. A lot of Apple placement in this movie. That's for sure.
I was hired for three scenes in one day, and we shot one.
Wow.
I like the moment where this isn't a spoiler, but she goes, "Don't you know he fucking?" I can't do a Dublin accent. She said, "My son sold his bike." He can't either. The guy's like, "Oh, you should get him to go cycling." No, he sold his bike to buy a secondhand laptop. Show like a brand new MacBook Pro M2.
It was an like, oddly specific line about the son selling the bike, and then later on we're like, because they needed the son to have a Mac, and there had to be some justification because while they weren't like dirt poor, they certainly didn't have much money, and like there's no possible way he bought a Mac.
How expensive was his bike that he got secondhand Mac?
Because I don't think you can sell bikes for that much money.
The thing I did like, though, speaking of the technology, is that this movie really brings to life and I think celebrates the fact that anyone can make music now. Mm-hmm. We're in a stage with technology, and it's the same with video making. You know, we see a bit of that in this, where we've got basically studios in our grasp. You know, mm-hmm. it's been completely democratized. There's a lot of Skype in this.
You need two things: an iPhone, and a Mac.
Yeah, but like, it's got, you know, it shows that there's a lot of hard work and there are tools involved, but it can be learned. These things are accessible.
Yeah.
It's literally, the movie is about a woman learning to play guitar and discovering music, and that all these things are at our fingertips. They mm-hmm. are, as he describes in the movie, you know, they are, you know, it's something you can gain, you attain it, you know, it's yours now.
Yeah, the skills.
I love that, and it's something that for the most part there are barriers. There are some barriers to entry, but compared to, you know, in Sing Street's era or any other era, like it has become way more accessible.
Particularly when you get a very cheap instrument, you know, as opposed to like the double basses of the world or whatever. But I think we all, like, we had such a laugh. We were all properly laughing.
Oh, it's really funny.
I definitely cried twice. How many times did you cry?
I cried once.
Mom?
I don't think I cried.
That wasn't a pun.
I know when you
I was crying when I wasn't in the movie, but other than that.
So you cried when for 100% of the movie.
Who do we write to complain about John Carney cutting you in the background? Which, to be honest, sounds a little bit distracting. That like we're trying to watch a scene, and meanwhile someone's shoving a baguette at a homeless guy.
I'm actually gonna tweet him and just be like, "Do you know, really loved your movie, but that, you know, that scene in the park could have really used something.
Some texture."
I noticed there was a homeless man. Now, normally people would pass by and feed those homeless people.
But you know why you weren't seen? And I now know why you weren't seen.
Is it because I was too good? I would have like stolen the show.
Because we realized, Mom pointed it out, but I think we'd have realized it anyway. They're pushing a kid in the swing, and then obviously the kid, you know, kids can only be on set so long. They're blatantly pushing an empty swing, and they zoom in so much to crop out the fact that there's no kid that I actually think you were probably behind them.
I was on the ground with the homeless man while they were pushing an empty swing. I think you're absolutely right.
Because they cropped in so closely, there was no, like, they didn't need any, what are you called? Background actors.
Background actors. And I think we could move on. I think your listeners are already over my lack of appearance in this movie.
I think you're underestimating how exciting this all is. Even that you were just that close to it.
I was so fun. I was as close to John Carney as I am to you.
But that's great. Yes, and we just watched the movie.
But
and
also, our listeners often complain that you're not on our podcast. So they'll be really complaining that you're not on this film.
No, they're not in the movie.
But listeners, now, mobilize.
We are going to spoiler sofa, which is what we do in the episodes where we are not out walking.
Spoiler sofa. Yes. Yeah. Please, everyone, get up.
Everyone, get up.
Get up.
Get up. Get a glass of wine.
Move to the spoiler sofa. Sit down again. And now here we are. Resettle. Okay, here we are. Okay, so spoilers now for Flora and Son. So I think the end is a really lovely idea. I love the idea of everyone coming together and bringing them all together, that they wrote this song together, that they wrote it between prison and in LA, and all the characters work together.
Center.
I mean, it's all very neat, but it feels very on brand for the John Carney thing. So I liked it, but I just didn't think the song was kind of good enough. And but it kind of worked a bit, but it wasn't.
Isn't that, you know, part of the charm, though? Because she's only just picked up a guitar a month ago, and her favorite song was "You're Beautiful" by James Blunt, and they slagged that off. And the Son song was like, "I'm the Dublin 07 and I'm gonna fuck you." Like, they were both kind of bad, and then they came together and wrote like a nice song together. And I actually think the falling slowly song of this is the one meet in the middle with her and
I mean, that's where I cried. I thought it was really lovely.
Whereas at the end, I think it was just song. Like how nice it is that they got up on stage and sang that song to each other. And I actually think that was kind of the point of it.
It was so funny when Jack Rayner goes into the bass solo. She's like, no, absolutely not.
Their chemistry as exes was so good.
Yeah, really good.
I'm really happy to see. I haven't seen him in a film in a long time. And like, he's an incredible actor. Like when he was in What Richard Did.
Oh, that was a powerful film.
That Irish film about the teenage boys who kind of got in a fight and accidentally killed another teenage boy. And he's just stunning in that film. And yeah, you don't see him that often, so I was really pleased to see him back in something. And then I think, and we are on spoilers now, but how they visualized, because she starts her kind of Skype guitar lessons with her American hunky guitar teacher. And I was thinking, there's only so long I can sit and watch someone on a screen, even though when we were talking about past lives, we said it worked for us. But it's like, I can't watch a whole film of it. And then I just think it was really good filmmaking how we brought them into the room together. It was very stunning. Like, it was beautifully done. I think that clever. Was proper filmmaking what he did.
Seamless. Yeah. Suddenly he was on a screen and the next minute he's in the park with her or in the room with her. And they had lovely chemistry on screen.
Yeah, they did actually, yeah.
Even like as we're talking, we're watching a still of them on the screen. Like, they really did have chemistry. It was lovely. And the movie left it open that there might be a relationship moving forward. It didn't shut that down.
Yeah, I like that.
It didn't shut that down.
And it would have been weird for her to go to LA. Like, it would have been so wrong with the movie.
I thought the third act was good. And also look at, I mean, we're looking at it here, 1 hour 36 minutes. That's such a good duration.
Really,
and it
good,
used every minute of that effectively, and like didn't outstay its welcome.
And I know it was in, like, it was not in a cinema near us anyway. I think it said very limited cinematic release.
Sure, in Cork at all.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
And it's a shame because I'd love an Irish film to get a go in the cinema. But I also think of all the filmmakers, when I was thinking about him, with Once, Sing Street, and now this, I've never actually seen any of them in the cinema. And I think they play really well on a small screen, actually. I think it works really well on, albeit I'd love to see it in the cinema, but I think it works really well on a small screen.
It's relationship driven. It's not.
It doesn't suffer for it. And I'm really happy for him that Apple did this. Like, it's brilliant. Like, they don't, you know, Apple don't put money behind that many films. Like, so it's brilliant that they did. But I hope all of our listeners actually go and watch it.
Sorry, no, I cried twice. The other bit that really got me, I just remembered, is when he's in the counselling session and he says that the greatest day of his life was when he shot a music video with his mom.
Okay, I cried three times.
Yeah, come on, that was
that
so
scene.
Nice.
Oh, that was, and then it was really sad because, you know, one of the other boys said, well, I haven't had a good day.
I haven't had my favourite.
And I think they really, that's what I, you know, this film really showed us that, like, her son, they have difficulties. She had him when she was really young. They don't have much money, but like, they have a nice life. And I think that's what the song at the end was acknowledging. Like, it's, we're okay. We're, like, we have a nice life
I'm
together.
I'm not in your world. You're not in my world.
Although there were some good lines.
Okay, there were good lines.
Yeah, because they were like kind of ships in the night at the beginning of the film. And like, she is really resentful. Like, she is really resentful about the fact that she kind of had a kid at 17 and has never done anything. And that's, you know, you understand it, like, and so is the her ex-husband is also, they both harbour that resentment about having a kid so young, but then it's like, but it's not the kid's fault you had him that young.
I thought the movie was quite, surprisingly didn't shy away from any of the darker stuff there. Mm-hmm. No. Like, she explicitly says at one point, I sometimes wish he was dead. Mm. Like, yeah. there was some real shocking dialogue in
yeah.
this, I thought.
Yeah, so sometimes I just want to come home and he's not there.
Yeah.
Mm. And her friends, like, you should have got the boat to England. Like, her friends basically saying to her, you should have got an abortion 14 years ago.
So it's kind of this weird thing where, you know, you spoke about, you know, what Richard did. And what's the name of that filmmaker again? And he makes Adam and Paul, and he's brilliant.
I think it was Lenny Abrams.
Lenny Abrams. Yeah, he's brilliant as well. But he's, you know, you spoke about, Kathy, that, you know, what the John Carney brand represents, versus, there is a touch of Lenny Abrams to it in that there's, or you know, I Daniel Blake or anything, where it's just like he lasers in on, you know, potentially dark subject matter like this, like a mother who resents a young mother who may resent her child, but then it's always uplifting. He finds he's a very half glass full sort of filmmaker,
yeah,
isn't he?
It's really nice.
But without it being too sincere or like saccharine, or
it's pretty saccharine, but I don't mind.
It was very comedic.
It balances it really well.
I mean, I hadn't anticipated how comedic and what a strong comedic actress she is. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite scenes, and there were a couple, when she starts her guitar lessons on Zoom, and she's like asking him all about himself.
Oh,
and
take
she's
your shirt
like,
off.
Take your shirt. Play that song again and take your shirt off. Like, it's hysterical.
But I loved his reaction there, because it was really inappropriate. Yeah, and we were saying, you know, if that was the gender roles were flipped, that would be
but
incredibly.
Then there was that line when she's
harassment.
Chatting to him, and she says, "What's your problem?" And he says, "I don't think I have a problem." She says, "You're teaching guitar lessons on Zoom." I know, so
oh yeah, that was funny.
And then he said, "Oh right, you're Irish." Like, he was sort of calling out the Irish banter. He was so out of his comfort zone initially doing this with
an
Irish
very
guy.
Corny guy,
he
yeah.
Was very corny LA guy with his big window behind. Anyway, I loved it.
Can I just say that, like, I loved this film. I'm thrilled to watch it, but the like 4 minutes when they were in that park scene, it was like everything else went quiet for me. I didn't hear any dialogue in the scene. I was just watching. Dave was trying to talk. I was like, where's mom? And mom was like, there's the homeless guy. There's the homeless guy. We're like, where's the bread?
It's such an exciting way to watch a film if you think your mother-in-law is going to show up at any moment.
And do you know something? I'm going to go home, and I'm not going home tonight. I'm staying here, but I'm going to watch it again because I was also walking at some points around the periphery of the park.
Oh my god! Put it back on.
So you might see. But what's really interesting was that last year I just did a couple of background stuff and a couple of things, and everybody you see on screen is paid and is repeating it. Everybody, even the people in the windows across the road, mm-hmm. blows my mind. There's nobody accidental there.
That's
so
mad.
Yeah, it is mad.
I guess they have to be, because you have to sign your permission away to
well,
be
they have
things,
to, and you have to keep repeating the same thing for continuity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah,
well, you're lucky the actress is striking in America at the moment, because you'd be replaced by AI. You wouldn't have gotten your day out on the film set. It would just be your image looped around. Yeah.
They would just take it off my IMDb profile or whatever and just keep replicating it. Sorry, I don't have an IMDb profile.
They would have shot you once handing his legs a baguette to someone, and they'd have just looped it. Yeah. So, no. Luckily,
you just drag and drop the baguette lady from the backgroundextras.com.
Wait,
there she is.
Mom,
we need baguette lady.
Are you crossing the picket line by talking on this podcast about a movie you were in?
Oh, scab!
What I will say, and this is real scandal, because at the very end of it, the guy in charge of props came up to me and took back the bag of baguettes.
Oh no!
Were they real baguettes?
Every penny counts.
Are they fake baguettes or real baguettes?
They were real baguettes.
So he took them.
Were
back.
You hoping to take some baguettes home with you?
You were like, I'm getting
from
the train
baguettes
back to
from
Quark.
The movie Florence.
That man handled baguettes. He took them back.
Admit it. You took one bite before you gave it back.
I did not.
Anyway, thank you so much. I can't believe you crossed the picket line to be a scab for our podcast.
You guys are worth it.
It was worth it. Anyway, that was so fun. Thanks, Linda.
Okay,
thanks,
thanks everyone for listening. You know, come and leave us 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts. Come over to Patreon. But we have to turn the podcast recorder off right now and just go back to that scene.
Yeah. Just going to loop that.
Thanks, Mom.
All right.
Bye.
It was fun. Thanks, guys.
Maybe we should meet in the middle. maybe we could find a little city no one knows. And if they just gave us a minute on our own, maybe we could call it.